And on this Thursday, March the 14th, in the year of our Lord 2013, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Tom Baker. And for our Ruminations Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing very good. And yourself?
I'm here.
Well, have you had to do some new things now that the new Pope is elected?
Yes, I did.
Oh, what did you do?
I went out and washed my car.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
I don't mean to be indifferent to the Catholics, of course.
No.
I imagine that it's quite a thing for them.
I actually put my car out for the Pope to wash it.
I guess from our side of things, we would look at it that way.
It's kind of, well, he's a servant.
Right.
You know, don't you wash your members' cars when they bring them over? Like every good pastor should be a good servant?
That's right. You got it right there.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad we're not the servants of the Old Testament. I was taking a look at the Bible Part 2, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if anybody's got any questions on it, or you'd like to give your comments or your point of view in St. Louis, it's 505-7850, and toll-free, it's 1-800-730-2727. What's your general response to the Bible Part 2?
I'll tell you what, watching this last set, I think they get further and further away from talking about Christ as the Savior, or the Savior who is to come. I don't have high hopes when we get into that section of the Scriptures.
I don't remember them ever talking about Jesus, even when they have the opportunity to do so.
And the faith that some of them express.
How so?
Well, when you say expressing the Battle of Jericho from Joshua, you have the angel of the Lord that appears. You also have the faith of Rahab, and both of them, I think, were somewhat distorted, very distorted.
Well, even Samson, the angel of the Lord, appears. The one that I really love best, and, you know, going over this, I guess we don't know the name of the mother of Samson, do we?
No, I kept looking for that. I went in there looking for it, and I thought, I don't ever remember them using her name.
No, I can't ever remember her name, but remember, she and her husband met the angel of the Lord, and then, of course, he did some miraculous stuff with fire, and you know what that led to? They decided that they had been meeting God.
Right, and the angel of the Lord, we say, is who?
Jesus Christ.
You got it.
It's kind of interesting, though, that part wasn't shared in the Bible.
I would agree with you, but if you go back to Joshua, when the angel of the Lord appears to him, what does he say? You know, I'm from God.
Oh, yes, yes.
He makes it sound like he's one of God's helpers.
Yeah, an angel rather than God himself.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to do a Bible story, only this time using a Christian point of view. We'll go to the phone lines right now, although I do want to get back to this, but let's go talk with Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, pastors.
Hi.
I'm looking at 2 Samuel 6. I'm trying to figure out, is this the episode where David.
Hello?
Yes, is this the episode with David?
What is 2 Samuel 6 about from your point of view?
Okay. In the episode that I saw, when Nathan came and told David that his son would die, he basically draped himself over the ark. And 2 Samuel 6, starting at verse 5, is about when Uzzah reached out and touched the ark, and he died. So, you know, it was like David draped himself over the ark, and no, he didn't die.
Now, are you talking about in the movie he draped himself over the ark?
Yes.
Yeah, right. No, that whole thing with Samuel, actually it's Nathan, and David was totally misrepresented. Nathan comes and tells him a parable, at the end of which David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." But in the movie, Nathan begins right away saying, "How could you do what you've done? You've gone against the Lord, and the child's going to die." And David says something like, "Well, we'll see about that."
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, what version is this from?
Well, I looked even more closely at this, and the beginning says this is an adaptation of Bible stories. So it was adapted for people who, of course, don't believe that Jesus ever existed in the Old Testament. And, of course, they change quite a bit of it. I don't know why they change those things, because some things they're almost quoting right out of the Bible what they say, and other times they just make it out of thin air.
Yeah, I mean, that episode, that's like one of my favorite passages, too, where the angel of the Lord confronts Joshua with the drawn sword, and he says, when he recognizes that, he says, I'm with God, and he says, and the scripture says he fell down and worshiped. That's my strongest indication that
right.
was God.
Yeah, that's
right.
For sure.
Right. And it goes on to say, and the angel of the Lord says, remove your sandals, for you are
from
on holy
feet,
ground.
Because you're standing on
exactly.
holy ground. Exactly. You know, and...
Okay, John, we're going to move on right now. We've got some other people on the line. Let's go talk with Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, pastors. Well, maybe you could help me out. I guess I have trouble thinking the angel of the Lord has to be Jesus. And I think he is an angel who is very close to Jesus, who represents Jesus. But, you know, it's the verse that I think of when I say this is like in Revelation 19, verse 10. And there was a voice coming out of
the throne. Right, and that angel says, don't worship me, worship God.
Yes, he says...
Well, then why doesn't the angel of the Lord say that all in the Old Testament when they worship him?
Well,
because he is the Lord.
Well, it's just that I guess it bothers me because Jesus was manifest in the flesh.
No, he was manifest in his voice.
Oh, in his voice.
Remember, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And he appears in the third verse of the Bible, and he said, and God said, let there be light. That had to be Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as a being.
Well, what do you do with Moses at the burning bush, where the person is referred to as the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire? And when Moses asks him his name, verse 14 says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be God.
Uh-huh. I guess I'm thinking of something. This was taught on KFUO years ago, and they were teaching us how to deal with Jehovah Witnesses, which
right.
I'm at work. I just dealt with one this morning who came to the door at work. And I said, I will pray for you. God loves you. He wants you to know the truth. I didn't have time to talk. But this was a series from KFUO. They said, Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus was only an angel. He was just an angel. And like she was trying to tell me, you know, he's a good example. I said, oh, he's so much more than an example for you. You know, he's so much more. He loves us so much. And he is God. You know, he's not an example. He is the power to be a new creation, you know. And I guess I'm careful with these people who are needing to know the truth, and they believe Jesus is nothing more than an angel. And I think, my God, he is God.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Could I answer that?
Sure.
You know, generally when I witness to the witness, so to speak, pardon the pun, I go to Colossians chapter 2:9. For in him, which is speaking about Jesus, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And that's really the argumentation that I sit down and talk with a Jehovah's Witness, because mm-hmm. they never have been able to get around that text.
Okay, and where is that at now?
Colossians 2:9.
Okay.
I got that from Kurt Marquardt, who was my professor at Fort Wayne Seminary. We were discussing that in one of his classes one day. It stuck with me for 33 years.
So, okay, I guess I'm understanding somewhat.
Just because the Old Testament refers to Jesus a lot of times as the angel of the Lord. In Pastor Kurowski's book, The Angel of the Lord, it's almost 70 times that you can make a pretty good case that has to be God, because he does godly things. He speaks of himself as God. People worship him. Just take a look at that passage where the mother of Samson and her husband come to realize that they were talking with God, and he's referred to as the angel of the Lord.
I guess I'm careful never to reduce him down to anything but the Son of God, and I'm just careful. So I wish it would say the Son of God. And, you know, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks very much for your comments.
That's a good point you brought up about the burning bush, because there Moses is told to remove his sandals, his
yes.
shoes. He's on holy ground. Same thing you see when Joshua speaks to the angel Lord, and he's told to remove his sandal.
Yeah, don't do that when you're talking to an angel.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Bob. Bob, you're on the air.
Thank you much. The movie, The Bible, does have some, you know, lack of precision, I guess, in some of the stories. But I teach at a local university here in St. Louis, and students yesterday were talking about it. And it is truly amazing the lack of knowledge that most people have today about basic Bible stories.
Yes.
But what's happened is people are starting to talk about it. And I think this is a state universe, and I think we're going to wind up with some little Bible studies as a result of this. They were talking about Cain and Abel, and one of them selling the birthright. And then after a while, they said, well, no, let's look at Jacob and Esau. But it really, I realize what to cut the sweep of history in just a mini-series, there will be inaccuracies. But if this thing really encourages people to think about if we can increase Bible literacy, I think you're taking a step forward.
I think that's a good point, don't you, Wes, that it gives us an opportunity to speak about these things in church. Look, we're using a broadcast here on KFUO to speak about it.
Yes, I would agree with your listener who called in. I think it's wonderful because it causes people to go back and read the Bible and then talk about it. And it gives, especially to the Christian then, that ability to witness the faith and the hope that lies within them.
And I think the one thing it does too, Bob, it allows us then to have the opportunity to insert Christ where he should have been inserted within the movie itself.
That's correct, because there's such a lack of understanding.
Oh, my.
One thing I'm planning on doing with some of my students is I'm going to get one of those little illustrated Bibles, you know, the little Sunday school material thing has the stories.
Yes.
We'll look at a couple of those, and we'll have a contemporary translation of the Bible for them to look at and read. There's a lack of knowledge, but because of this program, I can have conversations with my students that I could not have had before.
I tell you, I had a college student in my adult instruction class. I was talking about David and Bathsheba, and he finally put his hand up, and he said, who are you talking about? He had never heard of David and Bathsheba. I looked at him, and I said, didn't you even see the movie? He got a movie. But he was ignorant of David and Bathsheba. There's a wonderful book out of Concordia Publishing House, like Bible History, And it's just wonderful because it has all the Bible stories, and none of them are repeated, like the feeding of the 4,000 or 5,000 is repeated four times in each of the Gospels. It's only once there. But I would hand that children's kind of Bible history out to adults who are really new to Christianity, just so that they could get a taste of the history of what was going on during Bible times.
That's correct. This series is giving us a golden opportunity to talk to people that normally would not have been open before. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Do you find that true also, Wes, in your congregation? People are talking about it?
Yeah, you know, we hadn't had too much time to talk about it. You know, we're swirling around with it a little bit, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I've, of course, taped them, and I have them on CD. And on my seminars, I'm going to take specific portions just to show what they're thinking about. Go ahead.
But before you go too much further, but see, we're on Angel by Angel, Peter Krause.
Right, I know. Yeah.
And they just love that. Even to the point that one of my members goes to a men's Bible class on Wednesday mornings, and he's going to suggest that they start studying that as the next study.
Well, I'll tell you, you learn all kinds of things. They were, you know, with Rahab, they did a pretty good thing there, I guess, with Rahab. There were some things.
No, it wasn't. It was horrible.
Why?
Because it made it look like they broke into to Rahab's house, and the Bible says they actually lodged there in Rahab's house.
Yeah.
And Rahab recounts and starts a faith, and I know that you're a big lover of Hebrews, especially that chapter 11. And if you read in chapter 11, when it talks about the heroes of the faith, it says, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. And so she was showing her faith. Not that they were breaking in and she was afraid and, oh, by the way, I'll go ahead and save you guys.
Whatever happened to Rahab?
Rahab becomes the mother of Boaz.
Very good. She marries Solomon, and a lot of people don't know that she was actually, what, a great-great-grandmother then of David?
Yes. She's part of the lineage of genealogy of Jesus.
In Matthew. Yeah, that's really good.
Yes, Matthew. Yes.
Well, the thing I learned is they never had a name for Samson's mother, and I don't know why I didn't know that. You know who I always get mixed up is not Samson's mother, but Samuel's mother.
Oh, wasn't he the one, Hannah?
Yeah. And
oh,
so
yeah.
So when they said Samson, I'm thinking Hannah, but no, that was Samuel, the prophet's mother, you know, but that was kind of interesting. Maybe just real quickly here, a couple of things that I thought were kind of wrong. When Samson is imprisoned by the Philistines after they blind him, he has chains on him, and the Bible says it was ropes, not chains.
Right.
And as he's killing these people... before that, with the skull of the, what is it, donkey?
Jawbone, I thought it was.
Yes. He meets Delilah. Whereas after that killing, he actually ruled Israel for 20 years and then met Delilah.
Right.
And, of course, he lied to her about where his strength was from three times, but in the movie, he told her immediately it was his hair.
Yeah, it only took one time there.
Yeah, only took one time. And you've got all kinds of little things. When David killed Goliath, how did he kill him in the Bible?
With a slingshot, sling with a stone.
And how did the stone kill Goliath?
Oh, didn't it lodge under his helmet in the temple?
No, he had taken off his helmet because he was, you know, who was this kid? And the Bible is really clear that the stone sank into his head, whereas in the movie, it bounces off his head.
Really?
Yeah. And he gets knocked out, and David runs up and then takes off his head as though he's still alive, but unconscious. You know,
that was the way it was in the Bible.
But the worst thing is one of the, and we've already talked about this from my point of view, where Nathan comes to David with a parable about a ewe lamb that's stolen by a rich farmer. And
right.
David says, I'm going to kill that man, and thou art the man, he says to David. And David says, I've sinned against the Lord. But instead, David starts arguing with Nathan, and therefore arguing with God, and the child does die.
That whole thing with Nathan in the story of the theft and the parable, so to speak, I thought was so rich in meaning and missing out of there.
Because what Nathan does is forgive David.
Yes.
Your sins are forgiven, you will not die. And
yes.
None of that, of course. And I'm trying to figure out who these writers are and what are their criteria for leaving some things out and changing other things. And I haven't quite figured it out yet, because they're not anti-supernatural, because the crossing of the Red Sea was, I thought, well done.
Right. Well, you know, another one that I thought they really messed up on was when Saul commits suicide.
Yes.
They left out that whole portion of the Witch of Endor, because Saul really commits suicide thinking that he's going to be with Samuel, when in fact, you know, which that ghostly figure of the witch had put up was really of Satan.
Yes, and also on that, the Bible is clear that Saul asks his servant to kill him.
Absolutely.
The servant refuses to do so, so Saul commits suicide, and then the servant commits suicide when he sees this king dead.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I would say about 80% of the movie is pretty factual according to the scripture. But those 20% that aren't really take some of the meat out of it, like the appearance of Jesus, that's never mentioned.
Right, I think that those, and the forgiveness, and back to the Nathan David confronting of sin and the forgiveness that's given in there, that is so much that we as pastors talk to our people about, that and that's a story that we often tell and have sermons on in there about talking about repentance and forgiveness.
Yeah, I fully expected David to turn to Nathan and said, where'd you get the power to forgive sins in the movie? You know?
Yeah.
But that is interesting that Nathan really has no power to forgive sins, but he has received the authority from God to speak on behalf of God. What do we call that in liturgy when the pastor does that? The people make a confession and then we do the...
absolution.
Right, right. And what does that mean?
Absolution means the power of forgiving the sins. Because we say, I as a called and ordained servant of the word announce the grace of God unto you. And in his command and by his authority I forgive you all your sins.
Yes, in his stead.
In his stead,
and by his command I forgive you. So that we don't have power to forgive sins, but we have the authority to speak on his behalf.
Yeah, yes.
And that's really important to understand. A lot of people don't realize that Jesus gave that authority, of course, even on Easter evening. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you do not remit, well, they're not remitted. But that's kind of interesting. So this time around, they had that new thing at the beginning. This is an adaptation of Bible stories. That wasn't there last week. And I think they got a lot of complaints about it's not as accurate. They also say we're trying to follow the spirit of the Bible stories.
Well, if they're going to follow the spirit of the Bible story, then they better get more Jesus into it.
Well, you know, how many are there? Are there three or four of these?
Yeah, there's about 10 hours, I heard.
10 hours? Well, that would be five. I heard that the week before Easter, or is it Easter, is the last one on Sunday nights?
That I don't know. I hadn't heard that yet.
Well, I'm going to be really interested what they do with Jesus in the New Testament.
Yeah.
You know, I on another history channel I was watching, the life of Jesus. And you know what they skipped entirely over? His resurrection.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like I was watching Jesus Christ Superstar, because in that there's no resurrection either.
Well, I prefer the John Wayne version.
What's that one?
The greatest story ever told.
Okay, all right.
He plays a centurion.
Yes.
Truly, this was the Son of God.
Yes. Yeah, well, what's that thing in Obergamero or whatever that is in Germany?
Oh, yeah, where they do the Passion story?
Yeah, they were even going to change some of that because, you know, people were upset that it looked like the Jews were putting Jesus to death, and people didn't like that. But, well, next week then we'll have the opportunity to once more look at whatever is number three. They're almost probably out of the Old Testament. Although there was a really emphasis on King Saul, through David. I mean, that was a real big part of last Sunday's, but we'll see. What time are your services? Sunday
Saturday
in Havana?
At 6, and Sunday at 7:45 and 10:15.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Pastor Reimnitz, for being on, and tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the Jews and gays. Till then, God bless.
The Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.